Please stand for the reading of God's Word as we continue our series through the book of Proverbs. Remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever, and may he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. Pray with me once again. Father, we do pray that you would take these verses, this text on friendship, and sear them to our hearts by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as a child, one of my favorite book series was and is Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien, series familiar to many of you. The book covers a lot of ground, but it's primarily about two little hobbits on this amazing, incredible quest to redeem Middle-earth from the Dark Lord. I mean, it's a compelling series in so many ways. It has sold, and I was shocked to learn this, it has sold over 100 million copies. 100 million copies. And I think one of the most compelling themes in the entire series is the friendship between Sam and Frodo, something they really keyed on when they made the movies, this incredible, compelling friendship between Sam and Frodo, and in particular, Sam's loyalty and commitment and friendship with Frodo. It's just beautiful and moving in so many ways. And by way of story, it illustrates so much of what the Proverbs have to say about a godly friendship, particularly about friendship between two people of the same sex. Because when the Proverbs speak about friendship, they do so in a non-romantic way, mostly in a way that speaks to friendship between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. This is what C.S. Lewis had to say about friendship. And it won't surprise you when you hear this. C.S. Lewis says, "My happiest times are spent sitting up to the small hours in someone's college room talking nonsense, poetry, and theology." And then he says this that I think is wonderful. He says, "There's no sound I like better than adult male laughter." No sound that he liked better than adult male laughter. Charles Spurgeon said this about friendship. He said, "Friendship is one heart in two bodies. One heart in two bodies. It is the realization of true brotherhood. One heart, two bodies. That indeed is the essence of friendship, because one heart between two people expresses their unity." Their unity. And in the context of Proverbs, that unity of heart between two people comes from their covenant solidarity in the God of Israel. It's not just because they enjoy the same hobbies and have common interests and whatnot. That one heart comes from covenant solidarity in the God of Israel. In fact, Proverbs just assumes that all these texts on friendship flow from the foundation of their common bond in the God of Israel. That is very important. Now, that is not to say then friendships can't happen between believers and unbelievers or between two unbelievers, because they can and do, and oftentimes are extremely significant and profound. But I would argue that the fullest expression of friendship, a friendship that is complete and whole and the way God intended it to be, only comes in the context of the gospel. Is only possible in the context of the gospel. Because the desire for relationship itself, the desire for friendship itself, comes from who we are as image bearers of the living God, who is himself the ideal community. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who enjoy perfect and sweet, unending communion and relationship and fellowship. And so when the triune God of Scripture in eternity past ordained to create image bearers, one of the most wonderful and sweet aspects of being made in His image is being able to enjoy relationship and communion with one another in ways similar to God. And so with that in mind, with that backdrop and context and foundation in mind, let's look at what the Proverbs have to say about a godly friendship and the marks and the characteristics that make a godly friendship. First we'll see that a godly friendship involves earnest counsel. A godly friendship involves earnest counsel. Look at 27:9. It's printed in your bulletin, Proverbs 27:9. It's next to the last in your bulletin. And it says this. It says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend, the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And so here we see the sincere and genuine guidance of a friend being compared to oil and perfume. Both were very rare and valuable commodities in the ancient Near East, because the ancient Near East, like many parts of the Middle East today, it was a hot and dusty, dry, arid, difficult environment. And so oil and perfume, they were refreshing. They were even healing. They smelled good. They made you feel better in so many ways. They soothed aching bones. Extremely pleasant and refreshing were oil and perfume, extremely rare, an indispensable part of life for many in the ancient Near East. And according to Proverbs, a friend's earnest counsel is comparatively significant. That's how wonderful a friend's earnest counsel it is. It's life-giving, if you will. It is soul-nourishing, and that's what the Hebrew word for earnest means in this context, in this verse. It refers to the soul. I mean, that's what the word earnest refers to. It refers to the soul. Earnest counsel is soul-nourishing counsel. Counsel that harmonizes with the Word of God. It doesn't mean every single thing they say to you is like a one-to-one with the Word of God, but everything a true friend, everything a godly friend says to you ultimately harmonizes with the Word of God, ultimately flows from the Word of God. And to the recipient of such counsel, it is a sweet thing indeed. You know, it's like good art. You know it when you see it. You know it when you taste it. You know it when you experience the sweetness of a friend, the blessings and encouragement that come from earnest, sincere, soul-nourishing counsel. I can remember tasting it in a very, very substantial way, perhaps for the first time, in seminary, when the Lord brought into my life another seminary student named Mark Gibson, who is, of all places, he is the pastor of the church that Ronnie planted in Beaumont, Texas. It is amazing how God's providence works and how Mark is there. And the friendship that we forged in seminary is very much alive to this very day. I would not be here today without the earnest, godly counsel of Mark Gibson. He is perhaps my dearest friend in the world. He is a man whose counsel I trust. Trust implicitly, because I know it comes from his sincere and genuine selfless love for me, and I know that it is based on the Word of God. Accurate, trustworthy, and true. But I also need to be clear that his counsel was not always what I wanted to hear. Okay, it's what I needed to hear, but it wasn't always what I wanted to hear. In fact, I can remember And it was really at that point that our friendship went to another level. I can remember where I was. After seminary, I was visiting Charlotte. His first call after seminary was a small little ARP church in Charlotte, and I went there to visit family, and I was doing some errands with Mark like we used to do in the old days. And I can remember the stoplight where we were stopped before we were going to Best Buy, when in the course of conversation, he shared with me some very difficult things. Things I needed to hear. Things about my sanctification. Areas of my life where I needed repentance and growth. And there was a pregnant pause afterward. Because I knew that he loved me. I knew that he was doing it for my good. I knew that there were no ill motives. And I can promise you that it caused a wound. Which is another blessing of friendship. Okay? In friendship, true friendship, godly friendship, we get the blessing of correction. And we heard about this a few weeks ago, and there's going to be a little bit of overlap because this is such an important point. In Proverbs, and it comes up over and over and over again in different ways, different facets. Look at Proverbs 27:6. It's the fourth down in the list in your scripture reading. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful. Notice the emphasis in the Hebrew text. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. True friends, godly friends, are those friends who love us enough to wade in there and communicate with us about areas of our life where we need to repent and grow. True friends, godly friends, you know, will bring to light areas of our lives where we need to be convicted, perhaps if we're not, who will say difficult things to us. Spurgeon had this to say. He gets right to the point. Spurgeon said, "It is no friendship that flatters. It is small friendship that holds its tongue when it ought to speak. But it is true friendship that can speak a word at the right time and, if need be, even speak so as to cause a wound." That is something in a friendship that ought to be encouraged and not despised. That is something in a friendship that ought to be encouraged and not despised. And so I challenge you and urge you not to get defensive and immediately launch into self-justification when your friend loves you enough to communicate some things to you that might need to change, areas where you need to repent and grow. It is a mark of loyalty and love and friendship and not the other way around. Because there's nothing easy about saying those hard words. There is nothing easy about wounding a friend. And you ought to count it a blessing when someone cares enough about you to take that kind of risk. Because it is a risk. And I would hope that most of you have prayerfully considered being on the giving end of that. And you know how anxious that can be and how difficult that can be. There is nothing easy about it. And it's what real friendship involves. Look at the text, Proverbs 27:6, the second half of it. It says, in a sense, beware of people who only tell you what you want to hear. Be careful of people who just build you up and encourage you all the time and never say anything hard or difficult to you. The text puts it this way, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Because if all you do is flatter your friends, if all you do is encourage them at the expense of saying anything difficult, you are not doing them any favors. You're not doing them any favors at all. In fact, you may be and probably are hindering their sanctification. Now, don't go overboard on this. You know, God would call us to use wisdom and discretion and understanding in choosing the time and the situation and the issue to wade in there with. But God calls us to wade in where appropriate, like I said. We'll look back at 27:6. We were going to focus in on the second half of that text. Whereas faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And like I said, I can still remember where I was with Mark Gibson. I could remember where I was at the stoplight when he loved me enough to say some very difficult things to me. And like I said before, there was this pregnant pause, and I really didn't have a response. And I maybe even teared up, but it was a wonderful pain. And it was something that I needed to hear, and he was spot on. And I think because of those words, God allowed me to grow and change in some ways where I really needed to. So, question for all of us, how do we respond when wounded by a friend? How do you respond when wounded by a friend? Have you ever had a Mark Gibson moment where someone loved you enough to wade in there and say some difficult things? And how did you respond? Were you receptive? Or were you defensive and angry? Because I will tell you this, do not be surprised when your friends start leaving you alone if you respond defensively and angrily. And that is not a good thing. It is not a good thing when your friends stop wading in ways like this. That is not a good thing at all. There is blessing in correction. And so we've seen there is blessing in a friend's earnest counsel. It is sweet. We have seen there is tremendous blessing when friends correct us and lovingly rebuke us. Those are indispensable parts of friendship. And last but not least, we'll see that a godly friendship offers consistent comfort. I love these two verses, Proverbs 17:7 and 18:24. And they're the first two printed in your bulletin. Proverbs 17:7. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions, he may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so whereas counsel and correction come in at specific times and in particular ways, according to the Proverbs, a godly friend, he loves at all times. He's there at all times. Even in adversity, a godly friend is there offering love, offering comfort. And they do so with the ministry of presence oftentimes. Because in those difficult times, in those dark times, it's not like you need to have the perfect word. It's not like you're going to be able to fix something. It's not like if you could just offer penetrating insight, it would all go away. Oftentimes, it is your presence that is the most significant and comforting thing. The fact that you are there perhaps when no one else is. One Scottish preacher said this. He said, many will court you while you have much to give. Many will court you while you have much to give. However, when you need to receive, the number of your friends will be diminished, but their quality will be much improved. Your misfortune, like a blast of wind upon the threshed corn, will drive the chaff away, but the wheat will remain where it was. How very sweet sometimes is the human friendship that remains when sore adversity had sifted it. A commentary reminded me of the relationship between David and Jonathan, and how when David had been anointed king, and Saul came after him, and hunted him, and chased him, and forced him to be a fugitive on the run, and when David had no other friend, there was one friend who stuck closer than a brother, and that was Jonathan, Saul's own son, who loved David and cared for David through thick and thin, through darkness, despair, and difficulty. When everyone else was gone, Jonathan was there. Their friendship was so close and so meaningful and so significant that Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 18:3, made a covenant with David. It's a beautiful covenant, very short. 1 Samuel 18:3 says, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Isn't that remarkable? Jonathan made a covenant with David. David was taking Jonathan's throne. Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. He prioritized David like he prioritized himself. My friends, there are few comforts in life that can match a godly friendship. There are few comforts in life that can match this. Another preacher said, any man can selfishly desire to have a Jonathan. Who doesn't want a Jonathan? We all want a Jonathan. But he is on the right track who desires to find a David to whom he can be a Jonathan. He is on the right track who desires to find a David to whom he can be a Jonathan. Do you have this kind of friendship, humanly speaking? We're in different times, in different seasons. You play the role of David, and in other seasons, you play the role of Jonathan. And if you do not have this kind of friendship, I encourage you to pray for one. The Lord Jesus longs to give us the desires of our heart. When those desires are compatible with God's word, this is certainly compatible with God's word, and I encourage you to pray for this kind of friendship. But I'll tell you this, it's not just going to drop out of the sky. I encourage you also to put yourself in position where you can meet friends of this caliber, where you can meet friends, where you can share one heart with, okay, where you can find covenant solidarity in the gospel. My prayer would be that this church would serve as the context and the foundation for many of those new friendships. My hope would be that in years to come, when you think about sweetness of a friend's counsel, faithful are the wounds of a friend, that you would be thinking of someone in this room. And if you have that, if you enjoy that kind of friendship, then thank the Lord, because they are so rare. Rare like we heard in the initial scripture verse. Proverbs 26, chapter 20, verse 6 says this. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. Okay, people can talk about this. I'm a great friend. I'm this, that, and the other. Many a man can proclaim his own hesed love, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man, a faithful friend who can find? It is a rare blessing to find this kind of friendship among men. But one thing is sure, and we'll end with this, one thing is sure. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in him by faith, you have this kind of friend. You have the closest and most intimate friend imaginable. Okay? Someone who knows you better than you know yourself. Someone who knows what you are thinking before you think it. Someone who longs to bring you comfort. Psalm 56:8 says this. I'd write it down. This is an incredibly encouraging text. Psalm 56:8. Just listen to this. It says, Lord, you keep count of all my sorrows. And then it says this. This is a really interesting text. Lord, you keep count of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each tear in your book. That is the kind of friend we have in the Lord Jesus, who holds our difficulties so significant that, figuratively speaking, he collects all our tears in a bottle. He is the one who provides us earnest counsel and correction from his word. He is the one who is there during the difficult and darkest and most lonely hours of our life, and we know he does so because of the cross. Because he loved us even to the point of death, even to the point of death on a cross, and he did it for us personally, as Ephesians 1 says. He did it for a people he chose in himself before the foundation of the world. And we will close with this, with the words of Jesus himself on friendship. In John 15, Jesus says this. This will be our final word. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this. Someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. These things I command you so that you will love one another. May we know this kind of love. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you so much for these timely, these comforting, these beautiful and convicting words about friendship. Father, help us by your grace to find and cultivate and nourish these kinds of friendships, godly friendship, friendships that would grow and encourage us and give you glory. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the best friend imaginable. We pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand and